This conference is being recorded.
Yay! Hello, Judy, and hello, everyone who's dialed in today. I want to thank you for joining me. Or if you haven't dialed in, if you're listening to the recording, thank you for listening. I'm Jeanette, the Good Vibe Coach and author of The Magic of Pre-Arranged Journaling, Leveraging the Law of Attraction with the Written Word. And I just want to say how nice it is to be able to say author instead of co-author or contributor, which is all I've been able to say before. So my own book, finally. Yeah, I know it's just an e-book, but still, it gets a yay in my book.
Big yay.
Thanks, Judy. So pre-arranged journaling is what has brought us together today, and this call is for, well, it's for having fun mostly, but my excuse for having it is that the guy who delivered the book to you, Jeff Atherton, my marketing guy and technical guy, he suggested it. I don't often do what he tells me to do, or what anyone tells me to do for that matter, but when he suggests something that appeals to me, I like to accommodate him. So here we are today. Plus, a handful of questions have come in from people who read the book that I didn't address in detail in the book, so I'm grateful for the opportunity to share more information with everyone. So in addition to answering questions today, I'd also like to talk about what to expect as a result of engaging the process of pre-arranged journaling, and I'll share a couple of success stories, and then if we have time, I'll share my own personal experience with my current journal, since it does relate to several of the questions that came in. But before we start, I want to welcome Judy Kinney, the love coach, with me today. When I realized how many people would dial into the call, and I realized I was going to have to mute it, which I've never done before, the thought of not getting to talk to everyone made it a lot less fun for me, so I asked Judy to please join me to amp up the fun factor. Because if I'm the queen of goofing off, Judy is definitely the queen of fun, and I can't imagine a better co-moderator for the call. So thanks, Judy.
Thanks, Jeanette. Those are high honors.
Judy's grasp of the law of attraction is like few that I've ever met. She gets it. And I'm pretty proud of myself for attracting her into my world. In addition to being an amazing law of attraction coach, she's also a group facilitator, an incredible writer. I love your writing, Judy. You also plan fabulous events that every city deserves. And do you do public speaking as well?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought you kind of were up to a lot of fun stuff.
Yes.
In fact, Judy's expertise is fun, and she presents valuable information, innovative information, in a fun way that's very relevant to diverse audiences. So I'm thrilled that we get the benefit of her energy on this call today. Thanks for being here, Judy. What else should we know about you?
Absolutely. I can't imagine being anywhere else. Well, I'm going to start with a confession. And that is that I love love. I just have started walking around confessing that and just saying how revolutionary I believe that is. And I coach a diverse group of folks individually to have love as they desire. And I especially love coaching and hosting classes and events for lesbian, bi, and queer women to have the life and love they desire. And I recently changed my events. I'm doing these dine and dating events, so it's a slower version of speed dating.
Yay!
And because I realized that women in their 40s and older, they want to slow down in their dating a little bit. And I'm hosting those in San Francisco, Phoenix, Tucson, Seattle, and Boston. And I love to travel, and I love to go live, and I love to see different cities, and I want people to invite me to their city. And what else I want to say? My website is www.dreamandflourish.com, and Dream and Flourish is the name of my business.
And
I am so excited to hang out with you, and I just know I've done it right when I've attracted you.
Dream and Flourish is not only the name of your business, it's what you're up to, isn't it, Judy?
Pretty much. I think it's a good way of life.
Yeah, so. Well, thanks for playing with me today, Judy.
Okay.
For everyone on the call, I've asked Judy to be your advocate, to listen from the perspective of someone who bought the book and is just starting to play with it, and as it turns out, Judy is one of those people. She's just started her own journal recently, so she's familiar with the process, and I've also asked her to pitch in with answers on as we go through the questions because, your input is going to be incredibly valuable today, Judy, so please speak up when we go through those questions.
Absolutely.
I'm assuming most people on the call know me and what I'm up to, but in case you found this book or this recording through someone else, my homepage is goodvibecoach.com. My name again, Jeanette Ma. My blog is goodvibeblog.com. At either of those sites, you can sign up for my Get What You Want e-zine, which is fabulous, which I know because lots of people tell me so, and that's what I intend it to be. You can also get a 7-day free e-course on the blog. It's kind of hard to find. You've got to look for it. But it's a heads-up piece on using law of attraction in the real world. So there are some additional resources for those of you who would like to experience more from me. I'm very unlike Judy. I hardly ever travel. I don't do a lot of live events. Everything I do is electronically. So over the internet, over the phone, that's how I roll. So between the two of us, we've got it all covered, right, Judy?
We do.
Okay, before we start, I want to apologize in advance for any meowing we might hear from a mad cat in my office. That would be the feral cat that I managed to trap in my basement yesterday. Those of you who read the good news posts on the Yahoo group, you know about that. I'm skipping that long story. I just wanted to say we may hear from Sheba, and there's little I could do about that because I'm not moving her again. I'm keeping her in the office until she remembers that we're friends. So, Judy, it's not like me to say no more fooling around, but let's deliver on what I promised. Let's dive into some of these questions.
There you go.
First off, thanks everyone for sending them in. I tried to pick the ones that were most representative of the bulk of the questions. There was a definite theme, so I think we'll have it well covered. But if yours doesn't get answered, email me. So, Judy, where should we start?
Excellent. Well, these are just great questions, and I was very excited when I read them because I can definitely imagine. I thought some of these things myself, and I can just imagine where people are at. So let's start off with something from Meg, and she asks, I'd like to ask if I'm doing the journal right. I'm writing it each day as if it's my life instead of what my current life is. I put the day and then write as if I'm recording what my day is like, just as I do in my real journal. Is this the way I should be doing it, almost like an alternate reality?
I love that. That's probably my favorite question. When I read that
one, off with it.
Oh, I just love it. Love, love, love it. I love that you picked that one first. Yeah, so I love, Meg, the phrase alternate reality. Yes, just like that. That phrase just lights me up. I should have put that in the book. What you're writing is a day as if you had just lived it, as if this were your everyday life. So, yeah, considering your alternate reality and writing it irrespective of what your current life is, that's what we're shooting for because that's what creates that vibrational alignment. So, like, for example, in my current journal, where my current journal is best shape ever. So in my nights, when I'm making my entries, I'm turning lots of heads. I'm filled with energy. I'm so incredibly flexible and strong in my clothes. Oh, my gosh, everything looks good on me. You know, we talk about those gorgeous women who could make anything look good. Yeah, in my journal, I'm one of those women. So I'm also writing about how I love my body. I appreciate it. I feel so confident. It's treating me so well, et cetera, et cetera. I'm writing it as if that were my reality. And I love looking at that from the perspective of an alternate reality. So, yeah, Meg, you're doing it perfect. That's exactly what we're shooting for. Judy, what do you want to add?
It is, well, I just want to say it's just that easy. And I know that when I start my morning with my prayer ring journal, my day is different.
Oh, see, I do mine at night.
Yeah. I start mine with a new ender day just perfectly.
Yeah, I go to sleep with a nice vibration, but you know, I was just coaching a couple last night, and I was telling them, you know, starting your day off, it's incredible. If you engage some sort of process, and I wasn't talking to her about prayer and journaling, but whatever process suits her or her husband most, I said, if you do that at the beginning of the day, it changes the whole tone of the day. So
yeah,
I can see why doing it in the morning would benefit you.
Yeah, it sure does. And if there's something I need to do that day, I act as if it is the end of the day and how much fun I had doing exactly whatever I was nervous or had questions around, and then it just really shifts and makes the whole day easy. Hey, next question comes from Kim. Comes from Kim. I did start my journals, and after 2 days, all of this anxiety came up for me. Like, in my head were these thoughts of, that is a joke. You are such a liar. I got pretty triggered, as if the practice was showcasing more what I do not want. Is this strange? Does this happen for everyone else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's probably that was a very common question that came in, and I think probably the most important one, because yes, Kim, it happens to us too. It's an excellent question. Thanks for asking it. Coaches call those thoughts gremlins or gremlin thoughts, and they say things like, oh, you are such a liar. mine says things like, yeah, right. Or sometimes it'll say, please. Because, you know, sometimes it just pokes in when I'm writing a thought that is so not in alignment with what my current reality is. It pitches in, and often it's not very nice. So just remember those gremlins, they may not be nice, but they're also not in charge. You can let them have their say. They're not powerful unless you believe in them. You just want to keep on with your practice, and pretty soon they'll realize you're serious. You'll realize you're serious, and that their input isn't going to stop you. Because I think that's the key, right? Not to get stopped by those thoughts. Because if we bought into them, we could certainly create that version of reality, but that's not what we're up to. We're not getting stopped by those gremlin thoughts. We're deliberate creators. And that's what deliberate creation is, managing your thoughts, managing your energy, and not getting swept away by those negative thoughts. And yes, it is not unusual for this process or for any other deliberate creation process to activate those thoughts. But remember, we're in charge, not those gremlin thoughts. You can choose new ones, and with a little practice, it gets easier and easier to do. So just power through, Kim. And I might add, if you're really struggling with your thoughts, with your gremlin thoughts, you'll want to practice some gremlin management techniques. Coaches are good for that, all coaches, not just LOA coaches. So there are lots of good resources out there if you want assistance with it. But Judy, let's hear from you. What do you think?
I'm the same way, Jeanette. I think that pretty soon, I like what you said about pretty soon the gremlins go away, to just recognize that staying with the process really, really makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And I do think just kind of recognizing and distinguishing yourself from the gremlins is really helpful. Like, oh, that mm-hmm. thought isn't real. That's a gremlin.
Yeah, and that's not mine. Yeah.
That's not me. That's not mine. That's a gremlin. Oh, that's a gremlin thought. And then mm-hmm. back to reality, really.
The reality we want to create, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't tell this to new clients when they start with me because I don't want to plant the seed of expectation, but it is incredibly common. My experience anyway, my personal experience and experience with clients is that it is incredibly common to get some really strong dust kicked up by those gremlins when we strongly start out on the path of creating our dreams. So although I don't tell people to expect it because I don't want to make it any worse or I don't want them to manifest it because I told them it was going to happen, it is incredibly common. But sticking with it, you'll find that it has less of a, it takes less of a toll on you. It doesn't feel so hard to handle as you practice it more and more. It's just like anything. The more you do it, the easier it gets. And I don't tell people that, you know, eventually you'll never hear another one of those thoughts, although some people do believe that's possible. That hasn't been my experience. Mine still pitch in to this day. But I recognize, like you said, Judy, the distinction. I am not them. Those are not mine. That isn't what I have to create. And if I don't stick with those thoughts, if I don't go down their road, I won't create it. So, yeah, gremlin management, that's what that's all about. Maybe I'll do an easing on that next time. That's a good topic to cover.
Yeah. I use the phrase poco a poco, which in Spanish means little by little.
Hmm.
And though we don't have to, like, arrive where we're expecting to be overnight. That just step. It just really keeps evolving.
Yeah.
And what you always talk about is being relaxed and having fun, Jeanette. That really makes
uh-huh. Yeah, when we remember to do that, it changes everything.
It sure does. Dancing with gremlins. Mm-hmm. You ready for the next question?
I am.
This one comes from Michelle. And she asks, I have finished that one Prairie Rain journal to the end of the book. Doesn't feel right to throw it away in the garbage, but I don't want to keep it forever. I want to move on to new and better. I thought about blessing it and burning it. Just wondered what others do.
Well, if you're like me, then you save them all until Oprah calls, and then at her producer's request, you haul them all in a very heavy suitcase to Chicago, where her staff goes through them, if you can imagine, total strangers reading your books. And then after all that, you get edited out of the show, so you feel kind of silly for hauling them across the country, and you bring them home, and you put them on the shelf, where yesterday, your very scared feral cat that you made come live in the office with you pees on them. So you end up throwing a third of them in the garbage. I just did that last night. The first time I've ever thrown anything, any of my Prairie Rain journals away.
Wow.
Jeff will be so glad I'm not talking about dog poop, but cat pee instead. He says I talk about dog poop way too much, but... But I threw mine away, and I didn't feel a single bit bad, but you know what? That's because when they got cat urine on them, they got to go. What are you going to do? But I really like Michelle's idea of blessing them. What I've done over the years is just tuck them away where they're not in sight so that I'm not thinking about them. but I found it incredibly fun to pull out old ones and read the entries and realize that I am living the very thing that I wrote about, and to remember how distant and impossible it seemed at the time I was making that entry. And here it is, my real life. That's incredibly encouraging and rewarding. So I like hanging on to them for that reason. And I think always, too, in the back of my mind, I imagine, in fact, that's funny how this works. I always imagined it would be good for me to keep them for the record because someday it would be important to reference them. And there's, you know, Oprah's producers going through them. So that was kind of cool. But I really like Michelle's idea of, in fact, I think that show that I got edited out of is airing this week, by the way. But I say that with a little attitude, so I won't talk about it. Blessing them. I like that. Whatever feels good to you, if you like the idea of hanging on to them, do. If you like the idea of letting them go or burying them, throwing them away, blessing them, whatever works for you. It's all about doing what feels good. What do you intend to do with yours, Judy?
I'm a keeper, but I'm not a pack rat. So, and when you were talking, Jeanette, what struck a chord with me, and I know that you live by, is like whatever feels good to you.
Yeah.
And so there really is no hard and fast rule other than that one. So
yeah.
Some of us like to keep things. Some of us want, you know, to move on and not have.
Well, and I can respect that as well. And which is why I tucked mine far away. I mean, when her producer asked me to go through, I had to seriously dig to find them. But so they weren't like in my immediate vicinity.
Right.
But yeah, throwing them away. It just, there was a lot of love and high vibration invested in those, but as soon as someone pees on it, I'm ready to let it go.
Always waiting for the right moment.
Thank you, Shiva, for liberating me from my old books. Okay, that was a cool question. Thanks, Michelle.
This one comes from John, and I currently have resistance in the index finger of my writing hand. The doctors say due to mouse clicking. I have been trying to write a journal, but it is painful. I can develop feelings of relief by writing, but the end result is aggravating to me because of the pain and because the writing is nearly illegible. I tried using a keyboard, which causes no pain, and I get feelings of relief just as well as handwriting. Since it's the feeling we're going for, this should be fine, right?
Yeah, and Judy, I'm resisting wanting to coach John on what that resistance in the index finger is all about. You probably can feel that too as a coach. It's just a really natural inclination to explore that. But yeah, using the keyboard, if it feels better, absolutely. In fact, I got a number of questions along those lines asking if it's okay to type it instead of to handwrite it, although I did address that in the book, but also what to do if the writing is illegible. So, yeah, John, I say definitely skip the pain, my friend. Use the keyboard. You're right. The feeling is what matters. And if you get there better by using the keyboard, then that's what's going to serve you best. My personal experience is that when I'm writing something out, in fact, even Judy, when I was emailing Judy my intentions for today's call, and I was emailing them, I realized typing them isn't as powerful for me. So after I sent the email, I got out a sticky note and I wrote it down. Because for me, writing things down, that's like pulling the trigger for the universe. For me, that's powerful. But if I was having pain in my index finger through writing, I would definitely be using the keyboard as well. So do what feels good. As far as those people who had asked about what to do if the writing is illegible, it doesn't matter. Mine often is too. When I get on a really good roll, I'm abbreviating and, you know, using a little code so that I can go faster and keep that vibe flowing nice and strong. It doesn't matter that you're able to read it. I don't know, maybe Oprah's staff maybe was kind of ticked off about that or not, but it doesn't matter that you be able to read it. The feeling is what matters.
Mm-hmm.
You have anything to add on that, Judy?
Can we just say again, the feeling is what matters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, too, like you, just learning ourselves and being ourselves is just all part of the process. So you just kept saying, this is what works for me, this is what works for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the same way as you, Jeanette. When I write, there's something about my hand to my brain that's with ink just is so much more powerful. But that's just me. And I just love how this process is all about, it really mirrors law of attraction, which is what works for you, what feels good.
Yeah, and what I tell people, especially new clients, that, you know, they'll ask what I'm doing. I'm like, yeah, okay, well, it works for me. It works for me. It may not work for you. You just get to experiment. Yeah. Play with things. You're going to learn yourself. If you don't already know these things, you will learn them. You'll see where you're getting better bang for the buck, and you can tell that based on how you feel. So,
yeah.
Good question from John. Thanks for that.
Yeah. And I love, too, just like where sometimes when you're just learning, you do learn from what other people are doing. I'm going to copy you for a little while, and then I'm going to branch out into my own.
You know what? So my girlfriend who flew in, or she drove in from Montana, I was talking to her yesterday. My ex-husband is a makeup artist, or he's moving into that field, and I'm refraining from kind of making fun. And my girlfriend was saying that she went over to his house. This is really, really interesting. So she's my girlfriend. She's my girlfriend because this was his first girlfriend after we got divorced. So she and I are like best friends now. And when she came into town, she went straight over to his house. And I was thinking, oh, the three of us should have gotten together. And I was thinking for a lot of people that might be like an awkward reunion, but I just love to have those relationships. Anyway, so he was going to do her daughter's makeup, but she said her daughter, who's like 13, already knows how to do her makeup perfectly. And so Carol was telling Kevin how she taught her daughter how to experiment. She said, you know, you've got to be willing to try new things with your makeup. And she's talking about makeup, but I'm realizing how relevant this is to deliberate creation. You've got to try new things and experiment, because if you just keep doing the same old thing, you know, you're not having as much fun, and you're probably not doing it as well as you could be. So being willing to experiment, I think, is key. Sorry for that long story. Let's get to another question.
Here's from Debbie. I would like to know how to keep going when we have to share our space with someone who has issues with us. Basically, that a person in our home who doesn't have the best intentions at heart. I'm finding it very difficult to keep my upbeat mood and working through and really wanting to continue without all this feeling bad about things.
Yeah, good question. I actually have recently experienced that myself. Prayer and journaling with Russ, because I tell you, I do mine at night. I do it in bed, and it's the last thing I do before I go to sleep. And it is not the same experience with him in the bed as it is when I do it by myself. So for that reason, I actually do mine in a separate room now. And it's not because he doesn't have my best intentions at heart, but it's just because I don't know why it is, and I don't need to go into detail why. I just know that it feels better for me when I, first of all, keep this practice to myself. For a long time when I practiced this, when I had, you know, different boyfriends who would be wondering, okay, what are you doing in your journal at night? I didn't tell them. I just, you know, they just thought it was a plain old journal, and it's important that I do it every night. And if I was going to sleep and I'd forgotten about it, I would wake up, turn on the light, and do my entry. But to the extent that I could, I kept it to myself. This wasn't a practice that I shared with anyone, which is easy to do when I lived alone and didn't have any sleepover boyfriends. But now that I live with my boyfriend, what I've been doing is just doing it in a separate room. The answer to Debbie's question is you don't have to let their energy impose on you. They get to feel how they want to feel. They get to think what they want to think. And you get to feel how you want to feel. And you get to think what you want to think. Your feelings are not conditional on theirs. And that does take some practice, I know. But with a little bit of it, you can get really good at not caring what other people think or feel. And that's a nice place to live. In fact, you can consider those people your teachers. Like, you know, they're giving you the gift or committing to, learning how to commit to the feelings that you want to feel. You'll build a strong muscle at that when you live under the same roof with them. I think it's a really good opportunity to practice committing to your own feelings rather than letting someone else's attitude or intentions or their thoughts or feelings bring yours down. What do you think, Judy?
I want to ask you a couple questions on this, because I get this, and yet this seems meaty to me. So, you know, on one hand, you say that you keep your practice to yourself.
Mm-hmm. You know, I only share it with how many hundreds of people out in the world, but in my little circle.
But you also know that you know that for you it's easier to go into your own space and create that environment that you want.
Yeah,
right?
And if I had a different boyfriend, if I had someone who's on board with all of this, it might be more fun for me to share it with them. But I don't have that boyfriend right now, so
okay.
I don't share it with him.
Yeah. And then I think on the other hand, you talked about, yes, we do get to create our own environment with people that we're with. And so I think like both those things are true at the same time.
I like how you said that, because they might seem contradictory, and
right.
and yet, you know what, this is that practice again of feeling out what feels best to you, and no
yeah.
one else can tell you what that is. For a lot of people, if I suggested to a client that they go to a separate room and do their journal entry and then go to bed with their husband, that wouldn't work for them. That would feel very separate and very isolated. It works for me.
Yeah.
Right now. That might change next week. If Russ listens to the recording, which I doubt because he hasn't even read the book, so he's not going to get access to the recording, maybe things would change for him. I don't know. And my feel-good is not dependent on his acceptance or his thoughts about what I'm up to. He gets to think what he gets to think. In fact, my editor asked me this once. I'd written an article, and I said something about how, you know, my boyfriend was, we had had a conversation or something where he was critical about deliberate creation. She said, Jeanette, I do not understand. She said, it's just not believable to me that you, who can manifest whatever you want, would have a boyfriend who isn't on board with deliberate creation. And I said, I can certainly see that perspective, but it doesn't matter to me what he thinks or what he feels. I'm so grounded. I have such a strong foundation in this on my own that he could think that I'm completely ridiculous, and it just doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect my thoughts or my belief in the practice. It doesn't affect my thoughts or my love for him or for myself. So it just doesn't come into play. And that came from practice. That came from practice. I wasn't born that way.
I love that. I just so just you going a little deeper into that, Jeanette, is really helpful.
I hope so. It didn't sound very relevant to me. So I was going to
no, it's really helpful because what what a more powerful message of saying you create your own reality and other people are fine being who they are.
Yeah,
and
live and let
you
live.
To say, hey, my sweetie, my love feels differently about deliberate creation than I do, and I'm totally cool with it, and here's what my practice looks like and feels good for me right now. Like, I think I can, that resonates with me tremendously.
You know, and when I was manifesting my boyfriend, I did not put on my list that he believe and think all the same things I believe and think. In fact, I probably had a couple of things down there about how he brings me alternate perspectives and shows me a different world. So, I mean, it's not like I was calling in someone who was going to be my biggest supporter. I had a boyfriend. Well, he's my best friend now. Every time I refer to my ex, I'm not talking about my ex-husband. I'm talking about my ex-boyfriend, who is completely supportive. He learned this stuff right behind me. And I've had that support in my life, and it's really cool, but I also don't require it.
Very cool. I love that. I think that's,
I love
that,
that
can
idea.
Be that whole, like, doing what feels good to you and letting other people be who they are, I think, is just really pivotal in deliberate creation. More questions?
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Elsa has two. So question number one, I happen to be inseparable with my BlackBerry. Always have it at hand. When I am bored or have nothing to do while I wait for something, I whip it out and start surfing in the net. She talks about surfing, so I love that. It's my best friend. That was a little Judy interlude there. It's my best friend in the realm of things. So the other day I realized I could compose an email leaving the recipient area blank and pray rain journal away the idle moments. Thing is, when I'm done with my entry, I discard it, or otherwise I would end up with many saved drafts on the little screen. And my question is, does this process of journaling lose its effectiveness if I write my entry and then discard it, thus making it vanish from the world of phenomena?
I love the question. And I love the creativity. I love how people are finding ways to incorporate this practice into their world and into what works for them. So, all right, my answer to that question is, you tell me, how does it feel? If it feels lost or if it feels deleted, then there's probably a way you can make it more concrete. Like maybe, you know, making it an email, sending it to yourself, printing that email out later, and then deleting it so it's not, you know, taking up space in your BlackBerry. Then you can have your own typewritten journal, much easier for Oprah's people to read. And then, I'm sorry, I'm going to stop referencing that. That's just annoying now. But I like the idea of somehow making it real rather than just deleting it. Now, if it feels to you like just the process of typing it, if that brings it to life, and again, it's the feeling that matters, if that works for you, then continue on. If it were me, I would probably at least send the email to myself, and I would consider printing it. I would probably file those emails somewhere where I could go back and reference them. But yeah, pay attention to what feels good to you and go with that. What do you think, Judy?
I'm with you. I think that's a great thing to keep saying is what feels good.
Mm-hmm.
I would send it to me. I know I would, and sometimes I have
two bangs, right? The bang of writing it, and then another one of reading it.
Well, I love the whole idea of sending it off into the universe.
Oh, my word.
So that idea of, like, pushing send would be, like, whoo, like, sending
Great.
It out to...
And send it to, like, universe@yahoo.com or something like that. How cool would that be?
I know.
Oh, my gosh. universe@universe.com. Oh, okay. Yeah, I would send it somewhere if it were me, but that's just me.
I have little email accounts for... places where I send fear, and so it makes sense
instead
of paying attention to fear, so it makes sense that you want to send your things that you want to manifest to someplace.
Oh, that's cool.
I love universe.com. Her second question is, you say to make up names for people, so is it okay if one day in my journal I am manifesting a life partner, I am waiting for my boyfriend Eduardo's call, and the other day I just came home from my promising date with Jane. Does it dilute the manifesting makeup to make up their names? I don't really mean for him to be called James or Eduardo, but I do admit that giving him a name makes it more real.
I like this. This is Elsa that's asking this question?
Yes.
I like what she's up to with her journal. Alright, so if it were me, I've run into that same challenge where I use different names, like, because using the same name started to feel like I was getting stuck on somebody, so I would change it up, but then it also started to feel a little confusing, and so the way I got around it was when it felt like I needed to, sometimes that worked for me just fine, but on the times when it felt like, so I would start using a pet name, like I'd call him my sweetie, or my true love, or maybe Mr. Right might work for you, something like that, so that, you know, you're not getting specific with his name, but you can use a name that doesn't make it feel so diluted. That's my short answer. Do you like it? Are there Judy?
I love it.
We love Judy. Oh, cool.
I was thinking about my love for a second.
Oh, got it. Okay, got it.
So I use the word my love is my catch-all phrase.
Got it. Very cool.
Okay, two more questions. One question rolled up in one. Okay, this comes from Debbie, a different Debbie. And her question is, how do I narrow it down? For instance, money interrelates with job happiness, with larger pairs in the house, with I've been invited to go on a cruise and somehow I'm going, with doing away with living paycheck to paycheck, et cetera. You know what I mean? When I start writing, I'm all over the place. I'm writing a book each time I sit down because I can't seem to cover all the bases consistently. And though I do get some good feelings out of my time with my pen, I'm also frustrated by the process of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want to unload that frustration. So, and this is where you get to experiment with what's going to work better for you. In Debbie's situation, if it were me, I would pick one and stick with it. And I say that because she has past experience with success in focusing. If I remember her question, she had said something about, like, she's had success as a creator, and but it was the focus.
Yeah.
Or am I remembering that wrong?
No, you're right. She says, I already know I'm a creator and have had lots of good things created by me.
Yeah, all right. And, okay, so I occasionally kept a book where lots of cool things were happening. It wasn't limited to one particular topic. And that helped me with the general vibration, but I can't say miracles unfolded from it. I'm sure it helped me line up with them, but to me, and this is the key to what feels best for you, for me, the key was to create the focus. That didn't keep me from having two books at one time. I would do one in the morning and one at night. But, yeah, I think focus is going to be key for Debbie, and some other people may find that as well. However, if you're able to write about a bunch of topics and you just close that book feeling like you are on cloud nine, keep doing it. It is working for you. If you're feeling like Debbie and a little frustrated with the lack of focus, pick one and go with it. And then if you find new inspiration hitting you down the road, follow that, whatever it says. What do you think? Chuck and Judy on that.
I have a couple thoughts on this one. I love that she gets that everything is connected. I like also that when you say focus, so like if she focused on money,
that
other stuff is going to just follow.
Oh my gosh.
So that really struck me. What I struck with this is I am a generalist, and so I do wake up, and when I do my pre-arranged journal, I'm creating my life, and I don't cover every topic, but you know, one day I may write about my condo that I want, and the next day I'm writing about money, and, you know, the next day I'm talking about traveling. And so for me, it's all that journal, my primary journal is about creating my life.
I've had one of those. It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah.
But I like the idea of focus that you talk about.
For me, it pays off. This is, again, where people get to experiment, you know.
But it is all connected, so if you manifest.
Success in one area will spill into another.
Cool.
Yeah, very true. There was another question I wanted to, it didn't come through ask@prearrangejournal.com, but through one of the forums, it was, should I date the entries? And I've had a couple of other people ask me that on phone calls since then, so I wanted to address that one. Should I date the entries that I make? I have done it both ways, where I write down, but the only reason I do that is because I do keep my journals, and I will go back, you know, years later reading them, and it's kind of fun to make the connection and see how it all played out. But there have also been times where it didn't. Like, having that piece of reality on the page didn't work. So I have had some journals that didn't get dated and some that did. And again, it's all about paying attention to what feels good. We could have said, to all your questions, do what feels good.
Well, Abe only has one answer, so that makes sense.
It's true. You know, I didn't want this call to go a lot longer than 40 minutes, so I just want to cover briefly what to expect from this process. And I think I said this in the book, but I want to reiterate it on the call. Miracles are what you can expect from this, nothing less. We get what we expect, so don't sell yourself short. It can be big. It wants to be big. Your vibrational escrow has been calling you for some time, and everything you've got packed in there can be unlocked with this technique. Not just with this technique, but as you know, this is my favorite way to get there. So, you know, don't sell yourself short. Let it be big. The question people run into is they're getting close to the end of their book, or they finished their book and it hasn't happened yet. What do I do now? And again, don't minimize the energy that you've invested in your alignment, and don't undo that by feeling failure or feeling like it hasn't happened. Stay open. If it feels good to continue that vibration by starting another book, do that. I've done that myself, where I've had, you know, the sequel, and learning how to do that without feeling bad is really helpful. Again, pay attention to what feels good to you. It might appeal to you to start another book to keep the momentum going. It might feel better to just let it simmer and let real life catch up with the great vibes you started flowing with your book. I have had a couple of repeats myself, and it would be really good to learn to avoid feeling defeat or failure around that. It took me a couple times before that worked for me, but because I had had some success, and I knew it worked, it got me through those times where I was disappointed. But that's what you want to do. You want to avoid the disappointment and remember that, you know, this is all about lining up vibrationally, and some things take us a little bit more practice to line up with than others. The one I'm working on right now is my biggest challenge ever. And I, just by saying that, I make it so I would like to just delete that sentence. I've got a lot more books that I never finished because the thing started happening before I got to the end of it. But on the occasion that hasn't happened, I just ask myself, what feels good next? If it's to continue with a new book, I start a new book. If it's to take a break, I take a break. Trust yourself to know what will serve you best. Do you have any thoughts around that, Judy? Anything you want to add?
I just wrote down what feels good next.
Yeah, okay, right on.
And just what a great mantra to remember.
I wanted to do two other things on this call, share some success stories and also share my personal experience. I don't want to take time for both. So on the success stories, let me share a couple. I started asking people for permission to share, and I started doing that yesterday, so I didn't get a ton of emails back. I've had so many fun emails come through from people who just have wonderful things to say. Thank you for sending me those. Please continue. In fact, I forwarded on many of them to Jeff to ask your permission to share them on a website that everyone can access, because someone had written me saying, Jeanette, it would be really helpful to hear others' experiences, because, and I know this is why I use so many stories of other people in my coaching work, because hearing what's happened for someone else I think is incredibly encouraging and inspiring for us. So I'm absolutely intending to make these available to you. But let me pull up a couple that I can share just to give some on this call. Let's see. Hi, pretty lady. My life is opening up like a floodgate since I downloaded the Prairie Rain Journal and began my entries. Okay, and having said that, I realize I didn't get permission from her to share her story, so I can't share hers, but hang on, there are some that I did get. Okay, I thought I would share with you a Prairie Rain success that I had. Since I learned about Prairie Rain Journals in your Money Vibe class, I've been teaching Prairie Rain Journaling for a while in my coaching and in my classes, I have found it very inspiring. A couple of months ago, I was beginning to think about how my husband and I would need to rent out the condo we'd been living in for the year while he was in school. I knew we were going to hire a property management company to help us, but I was still starting to worry about how hard it would be to find renters and how many more mortgage payments we would have to come up with. So I decided to use the Prairie Rain technique. I started writing in a journal about how happy... Am I talking too fast, Judy?
You can breathe all along the way.
And I want to get through at least a couple. All right, I started writing in a journal about how happy I was that we had... The answer to that question is yes, Jeanette. You always talk too fast. I hear that a lot. But I talk fast when I get excited. I'm not coaching myself out.
That's
it, so, okay.
Across.
I started writing in a journal about how happy I was that we had found such great, considerate renters who always paid the rent on time and took great care of the condo. I even wrote about the one dog that they had and how they really appreciated finding a place like ours that would let them have a dog. I love that detail. And I wrote about how happy we were that we were getting a rent that covered our expenses. I did this every day for a few days, and oddly, oh, I love this too, she says, after several entries, I had this sense that was, quote-unquote, enough. I don't know exactly how, but I just, quote-unquote, knew that I didn't need to write any more about it and that it was going to be taken care of. So, as I am sure you can guess, we hired a property management company, and they did one showing, and we had a nice older couple who signed a year lease the next day, and, of course, they have one sweet older dog. My husband asked after we got the call, is it really that easy? I just smiled and said, yes. Thank you for your inspiration. Thank you for your story. I love, 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 love that story. Okay, let me see if I can find another one.
That story gave me goosebumps.
I just love it. I was thinking I have to do the same thing with my rental.
You.
Yeah. Now, you know, okay, she's bringing up a good point. I have had experiences where I start a journal, I get a couple entries done, and I stop. And sometimes I stop because I feel kind of like, okay, I got that vibe now. Yeah, this one doesn't need any more work. All right, I'm there. And sometimes I stop because of some other reasons that are, like, gremlin-related. That was my current experience that I was going to share, how I last year for my birthday, I said I was going to give myself best shape ever for my next birthday when I turned 40. I thought, that's a great way to do 40 in your best shape ever. So I gave that. I intended that, you know, next year, best shape ever. In December, I decided to buy a journal. I thought, okay, what better way to usher this in than with a journal? So I bought a new journal, and I was going to start it in January, and it sat on my desk until... It was probably beginning of May or just before May when I finally decided, Jeanette, I was getting ready to publish the book, actually, and I thought, well, Jeanette, hello, start your book. So I started it. I anointed it, best shape ever, and I made an entry, and then it sat there for another month. I didn't pick it up again. And when I got to looking at it, I realized that there was resistance there. That was what was keeping me from going back. I wasn't having the experience that I just shared from this person who wrote me her success story. It wasn't that I knew that was enough. It was that I was having resistance. I looked at that resistance. I actually asked myself a question. I said, okay, what does avoiding your best shape ever, what does that continue allow you to continue doing or keep you from having to do? That's one question I often use to get at a counterintention or a payoff, you know, something that's keeping the thing that we don't want in place. And the answer that I got from that was incredibly enlightening. And it wasn't something like, oh, well, I don't have to exercise or I get to keep eating brownies or whatever, because I know better than to believe that my best shape ever has anything to do with what I eat or what I do for exercise. But it came from something that was incredibly eye-opening and from my history, actually, where I originally gained the couple pounds. It's not like a ton of weight I'm trying to lose, but it started, and my ill health started back in the corporate world from the habit of commiserating with other office girls about our weight. You know, that was how women connected in the office, and I wanted friends, and that's what they were talking about, and that's what I started talking about, even though I had it going on. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. I had zero to complain about, but there I was complaining, and before you knew it, I had some real stuff to complain about. My husband was pointing out that I had cellulite on my butt, which I had never had in my entire life. I was mortified. Now I was joining in there commiserating with genuine problems, and it just went downhill from there. But it connected me. I had that feeling of connection, and that's one of my core values, Judy. So I recognized that this was some old stuff. This was some old stuff for me to clean up. And so that's been part of my work. But I like how that experience, how she knew that she didn't need to do anymore.
Yeah.
And I got sidetracked because I wasn't going to tell the story. I wanted to share a couple more.
I'm glad you did. Will you just repeat the question that you asked yourself, though?
Okay, yeah. What does this – my dad actually taught me this. I think he got it from Patah, who's a channeler that has information very similar to Abraham. Not exactly the same, but enough in alignment that I really like it. But the question is, and I only think that's where it comes from. I don't really know. If I'm crediting it wrong, I'm sorry. But the question is, what does this behavior allow you to continue doing or keep you from having to do? And that can help identify hidden payoffs or counter intentions. For example, one of the things I think of is, well, I'm not going to share it because I don't want to tell another story, but I think that's a powerful way to get at it. If you're having trouble with it, oh, my gosh.
It's a great
hire a coach, because this is fun stuff to unload. It will really set you free. Let me see if I can find another story. Oh, I like this one. If you haven't, Cheris posted this on one of the forums, so I hope it's okay. I think she told me I could share. So she said, let me share with you the first manifestation my mom had before she even finished the book. My mom has been very sad lately, as her and my younger sister have had some disharmony in their relationship. Because of that, my sister will not let my mom spend any time with her grandson. For the past few weeks, my mom has called Joey, and he has not responded for the fear he will get caught by his mother. So today, I spent time with my mom and asked her to go sit in her favorite chair and read Jeanette's ebook. My mom read until page 30. I might actually cry when I tell this story. I should have given these to you to read, Judy. My mom read until page 30 and was then inspired to close her eyes and visualize Joey and her spending time together, laughing and having a very good time. Do you know that only a few minutes later she heard her cell phone telling her she had a new text? Guess what? The text was a message from Joey telling her that his mom has given him permission for them to spend time together, and how soon can he see her? Big wow, how quick was that? My mom didn't even have to get out her pen. It was so wonderful seeing her face light up when she was telling me about the text she received. You know, this is just proof that it's all about the feeling, you know? Okay, she goes on, what a blessing, priceless. Tonight we went out to Target and together bought more journals as we were very excited. She had another one. I must have this in another place. Hang on. Oh. She says, yeah, you can share my example of getting $12,000 within 3 days of starting my journal, too, if you want. I don't know that whole story, so I can't tell it. But let me see if I can find another one to share. Oh, I got an email from someone saying, she said, I'm excited about your new book, anxious to read it. I purchased the book online. This is when Jeff was still having troubles with the delivery. Like, the email with the link came, like, a couple minutes later, and people were, like, expecting it instantly. So, she emailed me. And with her sign-off, she had a really cool title on her sign-off, and I had worked with her before, so I didn't recognize this new job that she had. So when I emailed her back, I said, dang, cool title. And I know what goes into that much work in order to get that title, so I was pretty impressed, and she emailed back, and she said, thanks. I attracted this position to me using what I learned from you with Prairie Range Journaling. This stuff really works. That was just a cute little one I thought I'd share. But I will post these as I get permission to share them. I won't be posting them. I'll have Jeff post them on the Prairie Range Journal site. And having said that, oh, my gosh, we're almost in an hour. Judy, is there anything that I feel like I've missed that you want to put a spotlight on?
what, do you want to say anything about what's next?
More fun. What else could be next? More fun. You know, you're doing your cool stuff all over the country. Everyone go to, do you have those posted on your site by any chance, or do people have to email
them? I'm scheduling them now. So I'm just in the process of getting things scheduled.
Well, and I'm also in the process of putting together my next group class, but I'm not ready to announce it yet, so I'm not going to say anything about that. And it always fills up really quick when it does, so I don't usually do it too far in advance of when it starts.
Fun is a great place to go.
Fun. Amen. More fun. Jeff's going to be really mad at me for not saying something more important here, but I don't know.
More important than fun?
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you, everyone, for dialing in. Thank you, Judy, for being with me. And again, I wish I could have left the call unmuted, but for as many people as you were dialing in, I didn't have belief that I could manage that many hundreds of people on the call. So maybe next time we can co-create it.
This is perfect, Jeanette.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.